Hey everybody, my name's Andrew. I'm on staff with the Uni Fellowship and I oversee the events team. Welcome to part one of our interactive style sermon from our series, Despair and Hope, the Bible Prophecies of Isaiah. Now each semester, we take some extended time out of teaching and training and meeting together to get more hands-on, our head in and discussion happening over a particular part of the Bible. And so we're gonna be working on and working out together the question, what do we do with the New Testament's use of the Old Testament? What do we do with the New Testament's use of the Old Testament? That is, as we pick up a Bible and we come across these kind of quotes from the first half in the second half, what do we do? You see, each day we're hit with quotes, aren't we? All the time, whether we're through our work kind of pipes or our areas of play, whether it's books or TVs, news articles, journals, the textbooks you've just been reading, even our banter, GIFs, memes, all the time we're hit with quotes. So-and-so said, it is written, I've heard it say. Or it's reported that dot, 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 dot. Or they said it, they said this. Now, whoever they are exactly, I'm not sure. I've never got to the bottom of who they are, but they said it, and that's a quote. Now, the second part of the Bible, the later part, the New Testament, does it all the time. In fact, the New Testament cites directly from the Old Testament. So much so that there is 1,604 citations in the New Testament referring to 1,276 Old Testament passages. That's heaps. And in fact, there is actually only 12 chapters of the New Testament that doesn't have some explicit or clear quote or reference or citation, the same kind of thing to the Old Testament. So if you're going to read the Bible, there's a high chance you've encountered it. If you haven't, you've sort of done well to sidestep and find just those 12 chapters. Now, whether you're a reluctant reader of the Bible, you're a casual reader of the Bible, or you're just a keen reader of the Bible, you're well into it. What do you normally do when you come across these quotes? How you approach them? Why should we care? What might your answer be to their reason for being there, for keeping them even? So for instance, you might be reading the Bible, you might be reading with a friend or reading on your own or in a group or something, and you come across, say, Matthew chapter 21. And so you're reading it, you've just gone through the vineyard parable, and then it says something like, Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God, etc., etc., etc. So, yeah, what do you do when you encounter those? Maybe one of your responses might just be casual. Okay, so you just read on through, knowing that it does have some significance, probably. It does have some meaning. You should probably care a little bit more than you do. But you basically just try to make sense of the passage you're reading by ignoring it. Well, not quite ignoring it, just skipping over it a bit. Perhaps your response actually is more one of confusion. You kind of know where it might be from, but you're not really sure exactly. You're not really sure about its length and accuracy. Why only say this much and not this? Why not add this? And also it can just feel a bit out of place, can't it? A bit like it pops out of the blue and it feels like it's for another audience or another person, and so it's hard to make sense of. Maybe another reaction you have is actually more one of confidence. You're actually fine with it. You seem to have a method to know how to handle it. It works, at least to your mind. And if I had a whiteboard here behind me, you'd be the person who'd be putting your hand up and you'd be keen to come and show me what exactly it is that you do. Maybe though you don't hit any of those criteria, and actually just you're concerned when you read this sort of stuff. The speakers and the readers, are they self-justifying? Are they just using proof texts? I mean, we get that all the time, right, don't we? It happens loads. We see people quoting to back their own arguments up. Is this person, are these writers simply just sharing their tale, making their story up and using the quotes that kind of back it best for them? Maybe you're uneasy within that about the quote's apparent kind of rhetorical flair, or even just the sloppiness is a bit alarming at where they're quoting from and how accurate and how much. So what do you do with the New Testament use of the Old Testament? How do you react? Well, what I want you to do is actually take some time out, and I want you to pick one of these chapters. I'd love you to read either Mark chapter 12 or Matthew chapter 21, they're kind of the same, well, similar, 1 Corinthians 14 or Mark 7. So read either Mark chapter 12, or Matthew chapter 21, 1 Corinthians 14 or Mark 7. And I want you guys to ask some simple questions, okay? Here's a few of the questions. What themes do you see in there? What are some of the issues and what are some of the resolves that take place? What's the main kind of idea of the story? What's the sort of the point that's trying to be put across? And then how is the Old Testament reference being used? What do you think is at play there? So once you've picked one of them, then I want you to pick up Isaiah chapter 28 and 29, which is the passage that we're looking at in our series, Isaiah chapter 28 and 29. And I want you to ask similar questions. Okay, so what themes do I see? What are some of the issues and some of the resolves? What's the main idea of this kind of count trying to get at? And you might have one for 28 and you might have one for chapter 29, and then you might need to put them together and you might create one, you might not, that's okay. And so as you go through and do that, then I want you to think about the connections you might see and the adjustments you might need to make and the points of clarity or significance that might come out after reading the New Testament passage and then being sent by the New Testament back to the Old Testament, to then be sent from the Old Testament back to the New Testament. And already in that, you're beginning to see the way that we're being invited to read the Bible and to listen carefully and engage properly. So I'll leave you to do that. Take some time, and then we'll get back together again to work on and work it out as we keep seeking to answer this question. What do we do with the New Testament's use of the Old Testament? Thanks, everybody, and we'll chat soon. Cheers. Bye.